Texas at 70.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here we're
into another chorus.
This Pastor Ralph.
That song is near and dear to my heart. Guys, as you see in your bulletin, we're back in our study in this great book of 1 Peter. And by way of review, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'll begin my reading at verse 7. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'll begin at verse 7. What we know is that during this time that we're in here in 1 Peter, the church was going through a great persecution. We know there was a king, an emperor by the name of Nero. And for the most part, historians say he had lost his mind and he was setting fires. He was trying to actually burn Rome down in some places because he still wanted to build up something new. And folk were starting to get realization that it was him that was doing it. So he started blaming the Christians. And look, they were already hated, and they were beginning to hate them even that much more. So he's writing this to believers that are going through a ton of persecution. And by the way, it's going to be near and dear to us as well. Not as surely this time, not as bad for us as it was for them, but in some countries it is. And as I always say, coming to a country near you. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. If you're there, say amen. And he writes here, he says, in fact, I'm going to start at verse 6, if it's okay with everybody. And if it's not, I'm going to do it anyhow. He says in verse 6, he says, for this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And listen, the world was saying that the Christians weren't no good, they weren't right, and many of them were martyred. And though the Christians judged them and said they weren't right, they were in heaven with God, those that had died in their faith. And God said, no, you're one of mine, and because of that, I'm giving you the right hand of fellowship. In verse 7, Peter writes, he says, but the end of all things is at hand. He said, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And guys, the believers then, they actually believe, the apostles and the other disciples, they actually believe that Christ was coming back during their time. And listen, even in our time, we believe he's coming back in our time. And we are certainly much closer than they are in regard to Christ coming back. But they believe that. And what Peter is saying is that, look, this thing here is winding up. And he's only going by the persecution that they're going by. And look, we can look at signs as well. And we see the wickedness that's all around our land and other lands. And more wicked than we've ever seen it before. So we can actually say the same thing. And amen what Peter is saying. He said, but the end of all things is at hand. And for that reason, he's saying, be sober. In other words, be under God's control at all times, not under any substance control, not under any alcohol control, not under any worldly control. And he says, as we're under the control of the Holy Spirit, that we're to watch under prayer. In other words, we ought to be praying on a regular basis. Scripture says we should pray without ceasing. And in these days that we live, not just on our prayer list, but just in the times that we're living, there are many, many, many things to be in prayer about. He goes on verse 8, he says, and above all things give, he says, have fervent charity among yourselves. He says, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And he's talking about God's love that he has given to us. And now because he's given it to us, we're able to actually give it to others. Even though we might not like them, we can still love them enough to tell them the truth. And Peter says it covers a multitude of sins. And listen, maybe you got something against somebody. Maybe somebody did something to you. It doesn't much matter in regard to your forgiving them and still giving them Christ and still praying for them as well. So he's talking about overflowing of charity, of love, that we ought to have one for another. And by the way, in fact, he goes on in verse 9. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And listen, he says grudging. Some translations will say grumbling. And many times the Lord might touch your heart to maybe pray for somebody. Maybe give somebody a call. Maybe go and visit your neighbor. Maybe somebody's going through that you don't know, and God's touched your heart in regard to them for a purpose that he would have you to pray for them or minister to them. And he's saying that as God touches your heart, or as you're led to go and do a work for God, don't sit back and say, man, I don't want to talk to them. Man, why do I got to go and do this? And then you go and do it, and look, your heart's not in it, so there'll be no blessings for you there. He's saying that, look, if you got an issue with them, put that in the past, forgive them, and go and do what God is calling you to do. Be a blessing to them. We only got today, guys. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us, and we get X amount of days on this earth. And he's saying that either we're going to serve the Lord and do what he calls us to do, or we are not. He says in verse 8, and above all, have fervent charity among yourselves. He says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In verse 9, he says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And by the way, yes, we are to minister to each other, but there are some strangers that you don't even know, and you ought to be hospitable to them as well. When I know Scripture tells a soft answer will turn away wrath, sometimes, and I used to hear this when I was growing up, it don't really cost us anything to be nice. It really don't. And look, there's been some times in my life, and I know it, I'll see somebody, I'm going into a store or a bank or whatever, and I'll see them out there. Maybe they're bumming money. Maybe I think they're going to say something to me. I know how to fix my face in such a way where they'll look at me and they say, I'm not bothering that guy. And we know how to do that. And that's not being hospitable. And in fact, I had somebody tell me one time, was going into a bank, and he was standing out there. I don't even know what he wanted of me. But I fixed my face in such a way that he said, man, I ain't saying nothing to you. Here, let me open the door for you. And that wasn't showing the love of Christ. And that opened my eyes to even that. Man, look, even if I don't want to hear it, even if he's bumming money, whatever it is, the Lord has opened up that door for me to be nice or hospitable or even to shed the blood of Christ in his direction. And we ought to do it. And I get it. There are days and there are days. But man, God's spirit is in us and is tweaking us and leading us and guiding us to do different and various things. We ought to do it in a way that's pleasing in his sight. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man, verse 10 says, have received the gift, even so minister the same. He says to one another as good stewards. And I'll pause there at this part of the verse because he's saying that as every man have received a gift, and of course he's talking about the gift of salvation, but with that gift of salvation, God has also blessed you to have at least one spiritual gift. And if you don't know what it is, you need to get with the Lord, talk to myself, or talk to Frank, or to my wife, or to somebody. Because you need to know what God has called you to do here in the kingdom. And he also speaks about being a good stewards. In other words, God has given us something. First of all, he's given us salvation. And I'm to care for that just like it's my own, because in reality it is. And he's gifted me as well. And for me, it's to be an evangelist, a speaking gift. And I need to use that as God opens the door, man. Anytime somebody calls me and say, Brother Ralph, will you come and preach? Will you come to speak? I go. If time allows, I'll do that. Because that's what God has called me to do. And I want to care for that. I want to make that my baby. In fact, I want to grow it so I study more about it. And I ask the Lord to help me with this giftedness that he has given me. And it's not so I can stand and say, hey, I'm this big time evangelist. It's so that I can stand and tell somebody else what God has done for me and be a blessing to them as well. He says, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. And he says, of the manifold grace of God. And guys, by the way, the only reason why we're in Christ is because of God's grace. And he speaks here, he says, the manifold grace, the many-sided graces of God. And his grace is apparent not just in salvation, but man, you were sick and now you're not sick. That was his grace. You had an accident, should have died, and you didn't. That was his grace. Doctor said one thing, but things didn't turn out the way the doctor said. Man, that's his grace, many-sided. And as he's blessing us, we need to be a blessing to other folk as opposed to just trying to look at the me, myself, and I ministry where it's all about me and all about mine, and I don't want to know anything about this circumference that I surrounded myself in. No, it's about the Lord and what he wants of me. I don't work for myself anymore. I work for him, and everything that I do, it ought to revolve around the center, who is Jesus Christ. He says, and every man that every man have received the gift, even so, he says, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And he goes on in verse 11, and we'll close and pray after this verse. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And listen, for me, look, what we know is that gifts are broken down in either the speaking gifts or the serving gifts. And for me, who has a speaking gift, he said that I ought to speak as the oracles of God. And what he's talking about is telling folk the truth. And guys, we can get together with our neighbors and with people we meet, even strangers, and we can talk about everything under the sun. Surely we can talk about the election and what's going to happen if he gets in or if that one, and we'll talk about that. Everything under the sun. And many times we refuse to talk about the true and living God, the S-O-N, the Son. And he says, as one who has this gift, or as I'm talking, he says, I need to speak as the oracles of God. In other words, tell folk the truth as the Lord is leading me to do so. This might age me or show my age a little bit, but years ago there was a show, and I'll simply say, maybe it was a rerun when I was watching it as a kid. I don't know, but it was a show called Dragnet. And it was a cop show, and there was a couple of sergeants on there, cops and detectives, and one was called Sergeant Friday. And he would go and talk to interview the folk that saw the crime, and they would say, I think he had blue eyes, and I could tell he was evil because the way he looked. And they would go through all this rigmarole about it, and he would stop them and say, just the facts, ma'am. I don't need to hear the fluff. I don't need to hear all that. I'm trying to solve a case. I just need the fact. And guys, he says to speak as the oracles of God. I need to tell folk the truth. I might not ever see them again. And at least one time when they were with me, I was able to tell them about the goodness and the mercy of this God that I serve. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, and he goes into the serving gifts, he says, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And he tells us why we're going to do it this way. He says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion, and it says forever and ever. And he closes out verse 11. He says, amen. In other words, wherever God has you gifted and you use that gift, it's not something that you can brag on, but you can brag on the one who has given you that gift. And we need to use them faithfully. And in the midst of it, if somebody comes to faith in Christ, if they have an epiphany in regard to their lost souls, if they begin to get some understanding or even what you say answers their prayer, then to God be the glory, for we have done a good thing through his Holy Spirit. Guys, I ask that you be prayerful with me as we continue in this sermon series, salvation is of the Lord. And Father, as we continue to dive deeper into this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll hide me behind your cross. And Father God, allow these words that you have had me to study this week to be words for this congregation. Lord, I had a pretty good idea of who would be here this week, this day, but I did not know exactly, but you did. And I pray, Father, as we go through these truths, that you'll touch and bless and plant seeds in our hearts and even in our lives that'll grow us and that will do us the most good. Father, even for those that are watching on the video, Lord, minister to them and bless them even through the airwaves that they too can understand. And Father God, have an understanding of wisdom that comes only from you. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Let God's church say amen and amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look with me at verse 12, if you would. And Peter writes, or continues to write here, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And listen, he says, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, here you are knee-deep in ministry. You're doing what you believe the Lord has called you to do. And again, reminding you that he's writing to believers that are going through persecution. And they love the Lord. They're ministering for the Lord. And all of a sudden, things start happening. This happens over here. And this happens over here. Guys, every week before I come here on Sundays, or even before I preach anywhere, something always occurs, always, to try to get my mind off of what God will have me to do, so that Satan will have his way, and I got to keep my focus. And by the way, if you're doing God's work, there's some that will begin to do God's work and realize where he's called them to be, and they're ministering, all of a sudden this goes wrong or that goes wrong. No, we need to give that to the Lord and keep on ministering the way he would have us, because Satan would try to knock you out the box and shut you down from doing what you were doing, because you get focused on what you need or what you want. Look, I give what I need to the Lord, and he always manages to take care of what I need to have done. I was sharing with my wife the other day, I know my face so well, is that many times I'm shaving with an electric shaver, and I'm not actually looking at my face. I'm doing other things while I'm shaving. I'm trying to save some time. And the other day, I have a skin tag on my face. And as I'm shaving, I'm noticing that my hand feels wet. And I'm shaving. I'm not even looking in the mirror. And I look down, I see all this blood. Now, normally, the shaver, electric shaver, it doesn't bother the skin tag. It just goes over it. But this particular day, by the way, I was getting ready to go preach somewhere. And I see all this blood. I'm like, what in the world? And so I see this blood, and I realize the skin tag has been chipped or cut, and blood is just flowing, and I'm for a second losing my mind. And look, for one second, I almost thought in my mind, man, I better call them and tell them I can't make it. But it was a cut, and it eventually stopped bleeding. And Satan had me thinking, you're going to be up there preaching and blood's going to be coming down from your face. Ain't nobody going to hear nothing anyway. No, wrong. And listen, that kind of stuff happens to me a whole lot, especially the day before or a couple of days before I got to go and have a service. And by the way, because my wife is married to me and the two have become one, it's not just me. It occurs to her as well. But what I know is that every week somehow I end up here, or I end up going where God has called me to be, and it always works out just fine when I focus on the major and I leave the minor things to the Lord. And listen, Peter's trying to encourage them, and they're going through, in fact, during this time they're being killed and martyred. And he's saying it's nothing strange. It's going to happen. And if you say I'm going to be sold out for the cause of the Lord, you can bet your bottom dollar. In fact, I'll even loan you some money. You can bet my bottom dollar something's going to happen. It always is. But stay on the battlefield for the Lord. Keep first things first and let God handle whatever else comes down the pipe, because he's called you to do whatever he's called you to do. And you need to do what he's called you to do. Amen? He says in verse 12, "Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, but rejoice insomuch that ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. And what he is saying, that Christ was only doing good while he was on earth, and all they gave him was hell while he was on earth. It says that when his glory shall be revealed, ye will be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, man, what we see here, this is all temporal. We're just passing through. We're transgressing through this, or transversing through this earth. And listen, we get a day here, we get a day there. Some days are better than others. But in the midst of all of it, when this whole thing is all over and we stand in God's place, and there we're ministering, and he's ministering, and we're there with all the saints and with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and with everything else, he's saying that it's going to be well worth it. This is not a Christian club. It's a relationship that we have with none other than God through the finished works of Jesus Christ. And look, it ain't no joke. And listen, as some believe that man, if I become a Christian, everything is going to just, my problems are going to go away. No, they're probably going to intensify. In fact, they are going to intensify. But we now have someone who can take care of the petty issues that I have in life. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And what he is saying is that, look, if the worst the world can do is kill me, they can't do nothing to me, because I'm going to serve my Lord. Because he loved me enough to come and save me. I love him enough to trust him and be obedient to him and do the things that he's called me to do. And when it gets hot, hallelujah, I dig deeper, because I know he's got me. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And either I believe him or I don't. And yes, sometimes we do need to stop and take care of things of our lives. But man, I can't focus on that. That can't be my primary focus. My primary focus, your primary focus, has to be on the Lord and what he has for me to do in life. Because I only get so many years on this side. And I only get so many fruitful years on this side. And while I can minister, and I'm halfway, and I said it this way, halfway in my right mind, I want to do what God has called me to do. Amen. In your bulletin on the right-hand side, it speaks about being able to respond, or how you should respond to setbacks and failures that come in your life. And that's kind of speaking about what we're talking about here. But I'm asking you, in fact, I'm telling you, leave it there. Wait until you go home. If anybody starts reading it right now, Frank's going to go and take your bulletin. So leave it there. I just needed to remind you, it is a good one you would want to read and understand, and it will help you in your walk here in this life. He says in verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. It says, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. He goes on, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, he says, happy are ye. And listen, we know the apostles and the disciples, when they were jailed, they counted a blessing and were rejoicing because they were being whipped or beat for the cause of Christ. Not for their own sin, but for the cause of Christ. He says, for the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. He goes on their part, and he's speaking about those that are working for the world, working for Satan. He is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. So even in the midst of trouble, guys, we can still rejoice because we belong to him. And we know that he's going to work it out some kind of way. And by the way, in obedience, we best believe that. Verse 15 says, but let none of you suffer, here we go, as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody, he says, in other man's matters. In other words, being punished for your sin, yes, that's supposed to happen. But being punished for the righteousness of God, that's one that can only occur to one that loves the Lord. He says in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, that's the word, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And listen, there's a lot of times where God is going to allow things in your life and sometimes send things in your life, and they're never designed to mess you up. They're all designed to grow you, and many times they're designed to show you right where you are. Maybe you think you're this big Christian, and he allows something in your life, and your actions show you and teach you you're not really where you thought you were, and you need even more growth. But he allows, or he sends to strengthen you, to grow you. And if anybody in here has ever gone through anything and have come out on the other side, you know that he's worthy. And the same one that brought you out that time is going to continue to bring you out and bring you through. He's not forgotten you. And his power is just as strong as it's always been. And it ought to be getting stronger in you. He says, yea, if any man suffer as a Christian, verse 16, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And he goes on in verse 17, he says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And listen, ultimately, we know for those that don't know Christ, the end for them is hell. And what he's talking about is that, look, God is purifying his house, his local body, because a lot of folk come in and they say, I love the Lord, I know the Lord, but man, when they leave here, something else is going on. And God is saying, I'll allow this in their life, I'll point that out, and we'll see just how much you love Jesus. Are you real? Or are you not so real? Is it lukewarm or is it hot, hot, hot? And God says, I'm going to go ahead and test you. I'm going to show you something because I'm coming back one day and I need to make sure my church and all those who are claiming his name are pure and right. Because I dare say he is going to take the church up one day. And guys, when he comes for the church and calls us up, I dare say there are going to be some that say they love him that will still be sitting down here in the pews. Because it's one thing to say it. It's another thing in your heart to know it. And though I don't know the difference, and though you might not know the difference in me, there's one that sits high and sits low, and he knows who is who. And Peter is saying, we need to tighten up. We need to make sure we are who we say we are, because God knows, and indeed one day will come back. And if you're not right.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. Mm-hmm.